So I'm with Upstream Public Health, which is a nonprofit based in Portland, Oregon, focused on policy advocacy strategies in a variety of areas designed to promote the health of Oregonians. I have no relationships to disclose. So this is a project that really bridged community engagement with state and local policy advocacy and a research component around health impact assessment. The project was largely funded through the Northwest Health Foundation. David Rebinall here was actually the program officer on the grant, and he'll next kind of talk about that great grant program, the CBPR program that Northwest Health Foundation does. So the timeline started in 2006, 2007, where a variety of different organizations, over 90 organizations actually, got together and did community forums across Oregon to really ask the people of Oregon, what do they want the state to look like? What kind of transportation options do they want to have? And those forums were put together into what was called the Blueprint for Oregon's Future, which was primarily coordinated by Thousand Friends of Oregon, who is the lead on a lot of these, a lot of the forums. One of those pieces from that blueprint became a proposal that the Oregon governor put forward in late 2008 to set targets for car use in Oregon cities and to promote alternative transportation options like walking, biking, and public transit. So my organization looked at that policy and saw it as something that had a lot of health benefits. And so we proposed and conducted a health impact assessment around that policy to look at the health benefits of that. And before our project, the policy was largely talked about in terms of its environmental impact and its impact on climate change. And we were able to enter the conversation as a health partner. Eventually in 2010, the legislation passed, and they're moving forward. The first phase of the legislation passed, and they're moving forward with implementation. So the community forums that's starting in 2006 and 2007 were organized in 17 different cities and towns, both big cities and small rural towns. And over 2,200 participants provided testimony and input on the process. Some of the key themes that came out, what first was economic opportunities, that people really wanted to see more good-paying jobs in their communities. They wanted more stable income. Another key strategy was around healthy community infrastructure. It was brought up so much about safety within neighborhoods and communities, and also people really wanted to see access to parks and access to the ability to walk around within their community to places that they visit on a daily basis. Third was protection of Oregon's beauty was a key theme. Not only protection of Oregon's beautiful wilderness areas, but also beauty and nature within their neighborhoods and within their communities. So some of the policies that came out of this, the forum priorities included protection of farmland, healthy green jobs in sustainable energy, as well as public transit construction, more investment in public transit, walking and biking, and people wanted to see land use planning strategies that really promoted the kind of vibrant city centers that where people wanted to live within the cities. And one key aspect of this is around what it's a technical term, vehicle miles traveled, VMT, which shows how our cities have changed in the last decades. In Oregon, between 1970 and about 2000, total vehicle miles traveled in the state nearly tripled. But then starting around 2001, about the time Hurricane Katrina hit, you saw an increase in gas prices and the economic recession came on, then vehicle miles traveled has plateaued. And it's not just an Oregon trend, it's a national trend. Thinking about how this reflects the way our cities are changing and evolving, it has a pretty significant overall trend. So there are, you know, significant links between transportation, climate change, and health. Transportation is a key contributor to greenhouse gas emissions. In Oregon, about 35% of total greenhouse gas emissions come from the transportation sector, and transportation has significant impacts on health, as I'll talk about later. On this graph, it shows in the purple is the historical and forecast emissions. So we're forecasting is, you know, the business as usual trend in terms of greenhouse gas emissions, which shows dramatic increase. The kind of that greenish blue bar shows what the emissions goals that have to happen in order to meet Oregon's greenhouse gas emission targets, which have been approved by the legislature. And the first bar is 2020, second is 2050. So it shows that we need, in order to address climate change, we need a dramatic change in direction. And in terms of transportation, this doesn't mean just building our cars differently. It means changing behavior on a broad level so that we are driving less, so we are designing our cities differently. And that's where looking at vehicle miles traveled comes in and finding effective strategies to reduce that. So the governor's proposal for setting VMT targets was to set targets in Oregon's six major cities. And these targets were set by joint task force, the Transportation Task Force, as well as the Greenhouse, the Global Warming Commission. And the targets would be consistent with Oregon's climate change goals. But once those targets were set, it involved a process of technical assistance between the state and local planning agencies to design broad land use and transportation policies to meet those targets and implement the strategies. So when we talk about climate change and health, often the focus is on climate change policies affecting reducing climate change and therefore benefiting health. And a lot of that focus is on, you know, here's climate change and the broad health effects that it has. But that's not really the focus of our project. Our project was looking at what we call the co-benefits of policies that improve health. So when we put forward transportation policies, one of the things we found is there are broad benefits around changes in physical activity, changes in pollution, and other benefits that aren't necessarily come out of climate change itself. So we did use a participatory process to conduct the research. We had a core research team that included researchers from the Oregon Health and Science University, and we had advisors from Human Impact Partners, which is a group in California specializing in health impact assessment. And then we had an advisory committee that included both technical experts and community stakeholders. So that advisory committee included staff from metropolitan planning organizations, which are key partners in actually implementing the policies if and when the legislation got passed. Include a lot of public health stakeholders, as well as land use and bicycle advocates and others. So within a health impact assessment like this, which looks at a broad and abstract policy, we used it was all secondary data collection and extensive literature reviews on a variety of subjects. We looked at the local policies that are effective at reducing vehicle miles traveled. We really grouped into three categories, one around land use and built environment changes, which might mean something like zoning for higher density or connecting businesses near residential areas. Second group of policies was around access to public transportation, which might be system designs of bus systems or the total amount of money gets invested in public transit. And a third policy was around increasing costs of driving, which included things like parking fees, gas tax, congestion pricing, and two other price mechanisms. And we focused on Health impacts related to physical activity, air pollution, and collisions. We didn't have, it was beyond the scope to look at some other ones which might have been important, like exposure to noise or access to goods and services. Here's an example of a pathway diagram that we had in our report, which connects the policies on the left with the health outcomes on the right. So for example, in the top left corner is street connectivity, which means increasing more streets within a neighborhood so you can more easily walk or bike across a neighborhood, which both increases active transportation and decreases driving. And so with increased active transportation, you have more physical activity, which decreases a broad number of chronic diseases. In terms of reduced driving, you see less air pollution and you see less collision rates, again, leading to a variety of health outcomes. So here's another pathway around pricing mechanisms, which I'm not going to go into. So a few themes that came out of it was the connection between urban sprawl and obesity that we see in the research, that more cities sprawl out, the more people drive, the less they walk, and has a considerable impact on obesity, actually. There's also a significant unequal burden of health impacts related to transportation. This is a map showing an air quality analysis done by a researcher at Portland State, Vivek Chandas. And you can see the red areas are the highest levels of pollution are along the highways. And when you know kind of way Portland is designed, some of the areas where have the worst air quality tend to be the neighborhoods that are low income or have significant populations of color. So some of the recommendations that came out of the whole process were that a mix of policies have the greatest effect, but an increased focus on active transportation has more health benefits, that there are a variety of ways to address climate change and reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and some of them have much more impact on physical activity than others, and the ones that promote more physical activity tend to have more health benefits. And then the third is around ensuring mitigation strategies for vulnerable populations. So some of the trade-offs that we found around urban density, for example, where when you have higher density within the urban core, you see less pollution overall. You also see more walking and biking within the urban core, but those that live within the inner city are exposed to higher rates compared to living out in the suburbs. And there are also perhaps negative impacts around noise and around mental stress, which should be mitigated with any increase in density. Pricing mechanisms are a really effective tool for getting people out of their cars, but it also tends to impact low-income communities more. We disseminated the research to kind of locally and nationally. The Council of State Governments picked it up and highlighted as one of their top three trends in America around sustainable communities of integrating health into the planning process. We also had a strong advocacy agenda around identifying spokespeople from our advisory committee and prepping them to testify and distributing the report to legislators, and as well as sharing the results with local planning agencies. Some of the benefits that came out of it to community members and community organizations are we included a two-day training on assessing health impacts that we were able to offer to 35 community leaders to help them improve on their analysis around health impacts of policies. And other benefits were around improved transportation and land use policies at the state and local level, increased community capacity to advocate, and we did help bring together a network within Portland around transportation health equity and focusing on those links. And then fourth, there was improved understanding of health impacts. Here's the photo credits, my contact. Thank you. Okay. So I guess I have a couple of questions. Yeah, Kati.
I had a question, Mel, about the slide with the picture of the toll booths on it. Were you talking about pricing strategies?
Yeah.
You said that those impact low-income communities more, and I was wondering if you mean that they have, that they're more likely to help low-income communities change their transportation options.
No, it's I was really looking at what are the negative impacts of pricing mechanisms, and I would say pricing mechanisms are definitely not all equal. You know, a gas tax tends to encourage more energy efficient cars versus a VMT tax encourages people to drive less. One of the most effective strategies around changing the mode of transportation was parking fees in the city, and but all of them tend to have the most negative impact on people that are low income who may not have transportation options, and they may be dependent on a car. And that depends on how, you know, what you do with the funds. If you take the funds, you invest them in low income housing or invest it in public transit options in low income neighborhoods, then that's I think much more beneficial overall compared to if it just goes into a fund around building highways, and unfortunately that's what it has to do in Oregon because of the Constitution. Parking fees are a little different because they tend to be collected by businesses or local jurisdictions, and a business can, you know, just directly take the parking fees and reinvest it in whatever they want, which might go back into people's salaries or whatever, so they have a little more leeway in that aspect.
Thank you.
Okay.